Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. By the way, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is the last chapter in this book. And for those of you who have been enduring the difficult discussions, if you've been thinking about the gravity and the heaviness of Solomon's observations, today as we enter chapter 12, I want you to know that the observations haven't been easy. And I want you to know that this morning the subject matter can be a little bit touchy. But oh, the hope found in chapter 12. And it's there, even though it looks like we're talking about something that's difficult and something that is uncomfortable subject matter for every one of us. Today we are going to look at what it means to grow old and to pass on. And you think, oh Lord, how long are we going to be here today? May we not perish today because of a long-winded message. But the message is really simple and beautiful and elegant. As we realize, looking over these last few weeks, that Solomon has removed the strength of our arguments that have been built upon the fallacies, that our hope and our security is built in our resources, our stuff, our bank accounts. I don't know about you, but looking at the bank accounts can really get discouraging, because bank accounts have a way of shrinking a lot faster than they do of growing. So we know that there is no hope and no security in our stuff. And we know that there is no hope and no security in our own strength, because there's not, in truth, any one of us that is strong enough to stop the clock that God has placed and reminds us daily with the circuit of the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. And that the preacher has removed from us the satisfaction that we try to find in living life in our own strength and our own abilities. It's not there. And he's also removed those who seek and try to find comfort in the state and health of the kingdom. And as the preacher, as the wise man, as the king looks back over the course of his life, his observations have been from a vantage point that many of us will never, ever know. This is someone in a high position, looking back over the course of his life, as a king who certainly would be entitled to just about any comfort this life can afford, someone who has been there and tells us over and over again all is vanity. And you say, well, come on with this introduction, because this is hopeless. You're talking about the difficult times of life. I know you've already talked about growing old and passing on. Let's just get into it, because I need to know some hope, because right now there's a lot weighing on me. And I want you to know, from our history, people have tried for so long to stop the aging process and the passing process. In fact, Ponce de Leon, who was the Spanish-appointed governor of Puerto Rico, spent a large portion of his explorations trying to find the fountain of youth. There was a source of water that was rumored to give those who drink it health benefits that could help bring about immortality and eternal youthfulness. And I want to tell you, just on premise, doesn't that sound good? That there could be some water that you could drink and that you would feel young again. For some of you, that's probably your Dr. Pepper that you're going to have a little bit later than today. That's what's going to get you through the day. You'll feel it. But you know what? Ponce de Leon wasted his time and his energy trying to find a secret elixir that the sun and the moon tells us doesn't exist. Today we are going to explore the meaning of life. And for those of you who have been with us throughout this entire series, today it begins to draw the net as we answer that question for the meaning of life. And I want you to know that it's been stated many, many times throughout this series. But as we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 especially, we find the answer that most people look for but never, ever find in trying to find meaning of life. As we've worked through this series, it has been developing and cultivating our biblical worldview to be able to remove our satisfaction or the hopes that we place in the stuff that we surround us with and place it in its true and rightful place. And over the course of this study, as we have been able to see the failures and the fallacies of thinking about the stuff that so many people try to cling to, we find our meaning in life isn't about accumulating and acquiring as much as we can, but it's about a personal relationship with the creator of it all. And it is that healthy perspective that allows us to talk rather poignantly and rather point blank and frankly about the process of growing old and the process of passing away and knowing that even though life is hard and life is difficult, and then in those lonely moments of life, this is not all there is. That healthy perspective of where hope and satisfaction is truly found gives us a healthy perspective. But the problem that we've seen is that our life moves at such a pace that every one of us fails to sit down and take proper stock and account of the real serious issues of life. And I don't mean to invalidate, because there has been so much that has been upended over these last few months as our sense of security and stability have been shaken to its core. When we're worrying about what we're going to do for work or money or our family or how our health is going to hold up, and the temptation is that we make it through the day and we think, hey, I survived and that is good enough. But the point of Ecclesiastes isn't survival. No, there's a greater purpose to living life than simply surviving. And that's having a hope-filled life that purposely and intentionally thrives in surrender under Jesus the Son. And today, our emphasis is this: a satisfied, full life doesn't fear the end. 3 points this morning as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Hope in life's purpose. Hope before life's process, and hope because of life's passing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together this morning. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we pray that You would bless this time together. And Lord, even though this is a difficult subject today, it's really the heart of the matter and the application of this journey, the importance of connecting with our Creator and remembering Him and serving You over the course of our life, not in our own strength, not trusting in our resources, not trusting in our kingdom, but Lord, in the hope that brings us pleasure, not as the world knows, but as only You can provide. So Lord, today may Your Holy Spirit fill Your holy word and speak to our hearts words of comfort and wisdom and freedom that's found only in You. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The preacher tells us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, is the meaning and the purpose of life. You say, well, why didn't he highlight it? Why didn't he point an arrow to it or put it there? Because it's right there. And if you've walked this journey through the book of Ecclesiastes, you see and you have seen that the message that the preacher shares about everything being empty, about this life and the entrapments of this life lead to emptiness. It's pointing out the fact that you and I are looking for something known as a full life. And the meaning of life is quite simply to live. But how we define what it means to live is really the great struggle that every man, woman, boy, and girl that lives or has ever lived on this planet faces. What does it mean to live? And for a lot of people, it's the pursuit of pleasure. For a lot of people, it is just simply feeling good and enjoying the moment. And the preacher has told us that's empty. And it leaves you empty and it leaves you unfulfilled. And the meaning of life, the purpose of life, is to live life fully. And I'd like to take a few moments to explain to you what living life fully really does look like. But if you've ever sat in a church service and you've ever heard a gospel message, I want you to know the framework and the foundation is all there, has been there. And these next few moments, don't think that I'm going to explain to you some secret mystery that's been hidden from the ages, or a secret source or elixir that's just waiting to be discovered. The truth is Jesus. You see, an empty life results from looking for meaning in what the preacher tells us is vanities. How difficult and how challenging it is to put all your hope or put all your time and your attention or your focus or the distractions of life in that which can never, ever satisfy. Last week, we were looking at what it means to be young and to enjoy all the blessing that God has given. And certainly, we understand that God gives us blessings, and it's what we do with those blessings that determines our emptiness. If we take it and use it and enjoy it for ourselves, there's no satisfaction. But if we give back to God that which He has so gracious and bountifully given, we find our satisfaction. It's not holding on to what God has given. It's giving back to all that He's given. And that empty life, that shallow life, comes from trying to find hope in the stuff that the preacher has called vanities. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, he has told us, the king looking for his happiness and his satisfaction in his storehouse, the preacher tells us, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. The problem with trying to find your hope in stuff is that you'll never, ever be able to surround yourself with enough stuff, because stuff simply breaks down, doesn't last, it goes away. So an empty life is a life that's tried to find its happiness and its satisfaction and its fullness in that which the preacher has told us is empty. And also know this, that discovering the meaning of life isn't something that you wait to the end of your life to try to find that answer about. Anybody ever done genealogies or your family tree? Anybody been interested in that? Is that something that you just took up relatively recently, or is it something you started out as a young man? You're fascinated, or a young lady, you're fascinated in elementary school about what your genetic tree looks like. Was that true? I think most people, maybe it's because they retire, they get really excited about all the time that they have on their hands, and they like to try to map out their family legacy and their family heritage. And it's something that they explore at the end of their life. When it's sadly, If we knew about all the family connections that we had, maybe it would keep us from using our mouth and spouting off our mouth so quickly in front of a group. I get amazed at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, even as I find among the county, how many people there are family members that are connected to, and how small this community is, and how helpful it would be if I could just know where all those connections were so that I could mind my speech. But rather than know all those things, maybe I should just mind my speech rather than worry about who I can speak frankly around about someone else. That's, I guess, rather gospel, and that's a message for another time. But the truth about finding the answers and the meaning of life isn't something always that young people start looking out for. We think it's an old person's pursuit or an old person's question to find out the meaning of life. But it doesn't have to be that you wait till the end of your life to seek the meaning of life, because the preacher's words to us are, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Your life may know purpose right here and right now. So the message isn't for the oldest of us, it's for every one of us, and especially the youngest of us, because the youngest, the youth, the young man has the opportunity to live every day of his life free, liberated from the weights, from the distractions, from the discouragements, from the dissatisfaction that's found in this world. That's why it's important in children's ministry to share the gospel with children. They have the ability to understand and to connect and to trust. I find it's interesting that the older we get in life, the harder that is. I know a whole lot of people that will tell me, you know, older folks, well, I've just had something worked out with God. Me and God's got it worked out. And I don't need what you got. I done got it figured out. And what a terrible wager to gamble with your eternal destiny by thinking you've got it all figured out. When after all, our natural inclination is to trust in our own strength and our own self-reliance. So there is life that can be had and purpose that can be found right here and right now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in life. The meaning of life, remembering your Creator, is that full life relationship with the Creator. And His instructions there couldn't be any clearer. Remember your Creator. Now that's hard enough in its own right, because I'm speaking to a room full of people that have a hard time remembering a lot about their days. Aren't you glad that our ability to remember where we put our keys isn't how we know we can go home with comfort? I mean, seeing Miss Debbie here, I'm going to lean back on you, our locksmith. I know that if I ever get locked out of here at the church, I can call her. Several weeks ago, I did. I walked right out of the door, and I locked myself out of the church. No sooner than I had turned around to try to get myself back in the door, I realized that I had closed the door behind me, and I tried to stop it, but at that point, it was too late. I had left my key sitting on my desk. And so I went through an elaborate attempt to break into the church. And I want you to know, I am not very good at breaking into the church. As a matter of fact, I got really nervous and really squeamish when a police officer pulls out across the parking lot and he's in there watching me walk around the church as I try to nonchalantly try to break into the church. Somebody trying to break into a church. But I was able to get into the building, to the readiness school, to try to find a key, Miss Joanne, but I couldn't find the key. And so after many attempts in and out of the readiness school, I finally found the key to get in here. It took me about an hour and a half to find my key. And Miss Debbie said, why didn't you just call me? I was over across the street at my sister's. And I said, Miss Debbie, I thought it was just one more minute. If I could just spend five more minutes, it probably something that I could figure out. And the longer I went down that road, the further away I got from that goal until finally I was able to let myself in. But remembering your Creator isn't just simply remembering where you left your keys, or it's not simply remembering that He exists. It's remembering your Creator. Remember that your life belongs to Him. That His title, Creator, He's the one in charge. He's the one to whom we're beholden. And we are not above our Creator. And He is not beneath us. That there is none like Him. And remembering Him reminds us that our lives are accountable to Him. And that's a really big obstacle to the gospel. Because a lot of people have it figured out. They've got their own way mapped out. They understand. Don't you tell me that I'm a sinner. Because I know that I'm not. I'm pretty good. And I think most people are pretty good. I think most people are very nice and very kind. But when we're talking about God's standards of righteousness versus our definition of morality, we do not compare or even closely connect. And happiness in life is remembering that we are accountable to our Creator. The secret to a full life is living a long life in surrender to the King. And Landon, the secret to happiness in your life is knowing Jesus and living your life for Jesus. And if Miss Lily Wallace were here this morning, our oldest member, I would say to her, Miss Lily, you certainly could testify that your life lived for Jesus is not a waste. And the secret to a long and full life is surrendering to the King. And then he looks at verse 12, and he tells us after he's told us to remember the days, now the Creator in the days of your youth, and then he gives us some descriptions about when it seems to be that life breaks down, while the evil days come not. Remember now, before the evil days, remember now, before the years draw to an end. Remember now when you say, you know what, I don't have any time left to enjoy this. Waiting to live for the Creator will not bring you satisfaction when you need it most. If you think it's something that I can put off till tomorrow and I'll do it then, there is no hope. There is no satisfaction and there is no fulfillment in waiting. So remember the Creator now. So we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. We're going to look at the charge to the young man, but the charge to every one of us about finding hope before life's process moves on. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 2 through 5, the preacher tells us, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of thy house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street. When the sound of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. The preacher gives us here a poem about growing old, and it doesn't sound very enjoyable or very pleasant, does it? Anybody hurting this morning? Anybody's body aching? Do you remember a time when your body didn't ache? I'm not talking about your belly aching, because that happens all throughout life. But I'm just talking about the aches and pains that come with growing older. The awareness that we have that we are still alive. Thank the Lord for that pain. And the picture here that the preacher presents for us is the way life begins to slow down. How many of us wish that we could continue on in the strength of our youth, at the pace of our youth, but If you've lived life, if you've lived a long life, you know that youth ends quickly. Why is it that children cannot wait to grow up to be teenagers? Why is it that children can't wait to grow up and get that sense of independence? They want to be able to think for themselves, to live for themselves, and they want mom and dad to pay for it. But while they are doing that, they are so wanting to skip over their childhood and get on into adult life. And then you look at the other end, and you see all these people that live out what they call a midlife crisis who wish they could go back. And there is nothing as foolish as seeing an old person acting like a young person because they're trying to reclaim the glory and the energies of their youth. But depending on which direction you're looking, for the young person, youth can't end quickly enough. And for the old person, it ends too soon. So here's a message of hope and encouragement for you this morning. You're going to get old. You're going to get older. And it's going to come really, really quick. So come to terms with it. Make peace with your old age. I think for most people, that is just something that life does over the course of our process. Sure, there are techniques that we can do, ways that we can comb our hair or color our hair. Or there are surgeries that we can get. But if we could just make peace with our old age, it puts our life into perspective. Because a young man looking ahead at his life, or a young lady looking ahead at her life, sees that the end is so far away. But an older person is just right there. You say, please don't talk about this. This is getting heavy. But until we can make peace with that, until we can find perspective that, you know what, we are getting older, we're headed to getting older, and we're headed for an end, our life begins to take on a sense of urgency, immediacy, and it can be a life that is filled with hope and not fear. And if there's anything to be said to the young man or to the young lady who wants to skip to the end and live that grown-up life, please know that you do not have to race to life's end. And the preacher has described what that looks like, that life that tries to bring the pursuit of pleasure and find its satisfaction in a bottle or find its satisfaction in a pill. Or find its satisfaction in pleasure and in fleshly desires. You don't have to race to life's end. But we know that making wrong choices and bad choices certainly does have an effect on our health. That's why last week we said, appreciate your health and your strength while you have it, and protect it and guard it. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, as we concluded the message last week, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. So, I know people often tell me, I just have to learn this the hard way. But you don't have to be foolish. Turn from that temptation and that desire that life just needs to be all about pleasure, because there's no satisfaction in that. So young man, young woman, listen to the grown-ups around you. You can spare yourself a life full of hardship and heartache by not yielding to temptation, not stumbling in sin. James tells us, lust when it is conceived bring forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Don't race to the end by making poor choices. But at the same time, you don't have to run away from life's end. In Psalm 71, verses 17 through 18, the psalmist tells us, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is come. And when you and I can make peace with the fact that we're old and we're getting older, and that life is about more than just satisfying our whims and our fancies, that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. And that's taking the secret and making that secret as well known as we can. Investing, reinvesting in your family, reinvesting in your loved ones and your friends. And not using age as an excuse to serve or not serve, but using age as a reminder of the importance that our time here is short. So, young man, young woman at heart, remember your Creator. Because life ends the same for everyone. Some, just sooner than later. Now, as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we see some encouragement, some hope here because of life's passing. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6. For or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. And the imagery that he uses here is of a lamp that is extinguished, or a pitcher that's broken that doesn't hold water, or even you can't even draw any water from the well because the apparatus is just broken. And you think, oh, now that sounds heavy and that sounds difficult. When you're talking about the end, let's move on to the good stuff, okay? Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Where is there hope in that? Where is hope in knowing that life will come to an end? Please understand, your physical passing, my physical passing, is not something that I look forward to. But the reality of our death does not need to bring us anxiety. It's not something that you and I have to carry as a weight. That we should live our lives free of fear of the grave. Because it was Paul preaching to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, that said, for if we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this age we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And you don't have to live with the fear of the grave. Because the promise of heaven. But remember, if you're trusting in heaven as your hope, that's not where satisfaction is found. Because satisfaction and hope is a person. And his name is Jesus. And even though the process that the preacher describes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, is the end and the returning of dust, he tells us that our spirits will live on somewhere forever. Look with me at the end of verse 7. And the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. And that's the great hope in the gospel, is that through that personal relationship with Jesus, finding the meaning of life, the purpose of life, serving our Creator now, that we find our hope and our freedom. And that we do not need to fear the judgment, the hellfire judgment of burning in a lake of fire. Because death isn't the victor. And sin has been defeated because only Jesus gives comfort for the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Paul tells this young preacher, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The secret to living forever isn't in drinking from the fountain of youth. It's in receiving the living water, the Son of God. Jesus, in John chapter 6, verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And his promise there of the resurrection, that we need not fear the grave, because the grave is coming, and the grave is real, but the grave is not the end. So the hope this morning that we've seen about living life and finding the meaning of life early on in life will certainly spare you a lifelong of heartache and misery. And coming to terms with us growing older, coming to terms with the fact that we are not as strong as we used to be, it's the reminder of who we need. And the reminder of the grave is that only Jesus gives us hope because of his death. And there is hope right there. It's not that death is our hope, that death is our relief. It is that his death was everything, that perfectly paid the price, and that our hope was purchased by his blood and through his life. The message of the cross, the gospel message, is so simple, but yet seems to be so elusive for so many. But the hope that you received as a young man, a young woman, an adult man, an adult woman, an old man, an old woman, is the secret to the meaning of life. So here's our response as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Our focus today has been a satisfied full life doesn't fear the end. Remember that our youth is relative. I was thinking about Miss Lily Wallace, and we were talking about the passing of someone who happened to be 94. I think it was when Brother Bester passed away. I told her that he had passed away as I shared the news with her, and she said, "Oh my, 94, he was such a young man." And me looking ahead, I think, wow. But her looking back, she's thinking, wow. Remember, youth is relative. I heard tell of a church that said to its older folks, "You know what, you don't have a place for you here. You're really discouraging younger families from coming, so you just need to get out." And then I heard of another church that said, "You know what, we want to welcome all old people. If you're disgruntled, if you're unhappy, if you're miserable, if you're old, come over here with us, because we want to make sure that we minister to you." But you know, in truth, our ministries really need to be reflective of our community and everybody. And the message of the gospel isn't exclusive for just one particular age group. And the value of coming together as the family of God and looking at how our life stories, and as we share our life stories with one another, it's about building and growing in our bonds. And church is a great place to do that, where we as a family can come together and realize the importance and the significance that youth is relative. Because I think a lot of times when you talk to older folks, you find out, hey, they're really young at heart, or they are really old at heart. But the message of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember your Creator while you can. And if you are hearing my voice this morning, if you are hearing this message, there is still time, and there is still hope, and there is still deliverance at the cross. And you can serve the Lord right now from this day forward, even though you may not have the length of life that you had when you were younger. The gospel transcends age, culture, demographics. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus, and only Jesus can give you a new heart to live a life of real lasting joy. So today as we close, may this be our prayer. Lord, grant me the freedom of a satisfied life.